and welcome to another episode of Fool's Daily. Today I'm joined by a new voice to Fool's Daily listeners in the form of David Brown.
Hello.
And we're going to talk Puppet Wars today. But first, David has to do the obligatory 30-second introduction. So, David, who are you?
My name's David Brown, also known as Cluso on various forums. I started gaming when I was at school with the older Airfix toy soldiers, and then followed by some 1/300 scale air war gaming, which we used to do, which was good fun. It meant you could carry your Air Force around in a pencil case, which was useful for getting it to school and back. And then I went to university and stopped gaming, basically. There wasn't really anything at university. And it was actually my boys that got me back into it again. By they came home and said, "Dad, we're interested in this game called Warhammer 40,000. Can we have it for Christmas?" So, yeah, of course. And then bought a few models to encourage their painting, and that turned into 8,000 points of NIDS. And, you know, then Eldar, and then Warhammer. And then an independent store opened near where I work, and they had a confrontation introduction day one Saturday. So we tried that out, and I've been playing skirmish games ever since. So Infinity, Confrontation, Eldorado, 8043, and then eventually Malifaux since it first arrived in the UK.
And Malifaux is how we met.
Yep.
And I should also point out that Dave is at the correct age, end of the age spectrum.
Yeah. Yeah, I make Conrad has to have somebody that's older than him. Than him,
so. So,
and I have so, some. There is somebody who is older than me, but you know, there we go.
But yes, yeah, but no, I still think that Conrad, even though possibly chronologically he's not as old as you, Dave, he is mentally much older.
He's either mentally much older or very much younger. I'm not quite sure the right one.
Yes, he's got the right one. So. We're going to talk about Puppet Wars today.
Yep.
I own a set of Puppet Wars Unstitched. I've never played it. I've never actually played Puppet Wars, full stop. So, what is Puppet Wars about? And, you know, let's just talk through it.
So, Puppet Wars is basically a board game with miniatures. It's what might we call an arena style. So, it's a hex board in a six-sided hex shape. And I think probably first thing is just to explain Puppet Wars and Puppet Wars Unstitched. So Puppet Wars was the original game that was launched about 3 years ago. Metal figures, an appalling box, some dodgy markers. to be honest, it wasn't... The game itself was very complicated, in that it tried to be Malifaux on a board. And so it used cards. There was some manipulation, but not the same amount as Malifaux. And there was lots of things that each puppet could do. You had to effectively disengage to move past other things. And it played okay, but it was very clunky. So Weird, to their credit, took on board the feedback. They, in line with all their other models, they've gone to plastic models, which I'll talk about in a second. The board has got bigger and brighter. The markers are now proper injection bits of plastic.
Right.
And the whole way it's packaged is packaged like a proper board game. It's, you know, it's
it is a very nice box.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that really let it down before. It was extremely thin. If you can imagine just a normal box that your Space Marines or Malifaux starter box comes in, it was that thickness card.
Right.
And it was pretty horrible, really. I mean, the first thing I did was take it out and put it into a case, so a model case. So in that respect, it wasn't too bad, but it didn't have that zing and that quality appeal for what was quite an expensive game.
Right.
But Unstitched arrived almost exactly a year ago. I first saw it the day before Salute last year, when I opened the box up and went, oh my God, these miniatures are just fantastic. Oh, I'm going to have to paint another load of miniatures, having just painted all the metal ones. And we ran it last year at Salute, and that's all I did all day for however many hours. Salute is open, 8 hours, 7 hours, and it was pretty popular again this year.
Okay. So it's a board game. It comes with miniatures. Do you have to assemble the miniatures, yeah, and things? It has that level.
Yes. So they're relatively simple to fit together. Typical to where there's a few little fiddly bits to get the level of detail they want. So there's an all stringer where the legs of the bird are separate, but
right,
they do fit in. There's pins and holes which are a decent size, and so they do assemble very well, and it looks great when it's assembled. So it's not a yellow beard situation, but they do take a bit of care. Some of the models are single piece or two piece. Most of them are only one or two pieces, but one or two have got a little bit more detail on them, and they're about 25 mil high models, really nicely molded.
So it definitely falls into this new category of board games, of hobby games, where you have to do some hobby before you actually get to play it.
Yes.
Right, okay.
So basically, from a model's point of view, you get three masters. So you get Lady Justice, Seamus, and Pokey Vic.
Okay.
And then you get five sidekicks. So these are like henchmen, enforcer models, and then there's 36 pawns, which are your minions, and there's 12 different minions and three of each.
Okay, I suppose we should quickly explain that the characters that you're playing in the game are characters from Malifaux.
So the backstory is that Zoraida, who's voodoo master, makes puppets of all the people in Malifaux. When she's away from her hut out in the bayou, then the puppets come to life and fight each other. And that's the little backstory to it.
Right, okay.
So each game you play with a master and then a number of sidekicks and pawns. You don't have to, it's not a fixed faction or anything like that. You can mix and match your models as you wish, but there are limitations from a practical point of view of how you pick your force.
Okay.
Which will be clear as a sort of explain how the game plays.
Okay.
So normally you're playing with Master plus 8 miniatures is the entry level, and you can play up to as many as you like.
So if there are three masters in the box, does that mean it's a three player game?
So it will play 2, 3, or 4 player. To play three player, you'd need another fate deck. So you get two puppet decks in the set, and then you'd need just another fate deck to play three player.
Okay.
And then another master, which could be another. You know, if your friend has also got a copy, then there's no reason why you couldn't play with two Seamuses or two Lady Justices. Right.
Okay.
Basically,
how do you play?
Okay, so it's you've got a card based system as you'd expect from Weird. You have a control hand, which is four cards plus one per workbench. So a workbench is where you enter play, and you, at the start of the game, each player has one workbench which is theirs. So there's a coloured workbenches. There's four different coloured sets of markers in the set, and then there are neutral workbenches. So you'll have three or five or whatever you want of neutral workbenches. When you move onto a workbench, you can do an action called mine, which makes the workbench yours. And the more workbenches you have, it gives you more flexibility about where you enter the game, and also you start each turn with more cards.
Okay.
It works on a I lose basis rather than an I win basis, which suits the multiplayer. So basically, the two lose conditions in the standard game are master dies, you're dead, and if at any point you have no workbenches, you lose.
Okay.
So balance.
So the workbenches are squares on the board.
Hexes on the board, yes.
Hexes on the board. Sorry, effectively you're controlling.
Yes. And then the other thing that's on the board is like impassable terrain. So there's little markers with mountains on, and okay. Basically can't see through those or pass through them. The centre of each hex has a dot on it, and the dots give you the line of sight. So it's dot to dot.
Right. So there's some definite aspects of a tabletop game still in the board game then.
Yeah. Each model has a stat card, which has the number of buttons that you have. So your buttons are how many lives you have, and your buttons get ripped off as you get attacked.
Ow.
Yes. So it's very friendly, you know, because you can always
turn the buttons. Sounds quite brutal. So you're sort of ripping apart your opponent's
yes.
puppets.
Yeah, the terminology is tear apart a puppet. Yeah. So.
Oh. Yeah. Okay.
Sort of appeals to me. I don't know why. And then the other stats on the card would be movement, defense, attack, and upgrades. How many upgrades you can take. So when puppets that aren't masters die, you get a chance to have an upgrade. So on the back of each card is an upgrade. So, for example, the one of the cards, the upgrade is called Frog's Legs, which gives you leap and plus one movement. So that's a really useful one to add to something that's maybe quite slow or you want to get into combat.
Okay.
So you could also rip apart your own puppets.
Right, so sort of sacrifice them to improve your others.
Yes. So that's tactically quite an interesting way. And some people say, well, do you really play with 20, 30 puppets? Yes, you can do. Because A, you've only got so many on the board at time, because practically you can only have so many. But also, so Ronin, for example, are quite quick with the movement 3, so they're very good at going and capturing the neutral workbenches. But to be honest, they don't really do a lot. They haven't got a very good attack. They haven't got any special abilities. So then you sidle up to them and rip them apart for their awesome sword that they've got as their upgrade.
Right. Okay.
So you can play some tactical play around that.
Okay. So how does a typical turn go? Does each player get to move do things with all of their puppets and then you get a go or?
No. The way it works is each turn is 5 rounds. And each round, you will each animate one puppet.
Okay.
So at the start of the turn, you will draw up to your hand size. And then for each round, you draw a card and then play a card. And I can't remember how many times I've said that over days of demos. But basically, it means you've always got a card to play to animate your puppet. Now, each puppet has a different animation requirement, which is a number and possibly a suit. So,
We should say for people who aren't Malifaux aficionados listening that a fate deck that David was talking about is effectively a normal deck of cards, but it has special suits on it rather than clubs, hearts, spades, etc.
Yeah. So each of the cards has that in the top right-hand corner, and that is the number, or the number and suit, that you need to animate that puppet.
Okay.
Now, although factions aren't essential, if you take Lady Justice, for example, she ignores the rams that you would get in other guild models. So rather than needing a 7 of rams or more to activate an all-stringer, you would only need a 7 or more of any suit.
Right, okay.
And that you've got a range of animation requirements from 1 up to, I think the highest is 11 for the Dead Rider. So Dead Rider's not going to animate many times during a game.
Yeah.
Because he's such a high animation requirement. But he's pretty deadly when he does get going.
Right, okay.
So you'll, you draw a card, you'll then play a card with, what we usually do is just play them face down and then flip them over together. And then whoever has the lowest card gets to animate first.
Okay.
And then to animate a puppet can do, you can either animate a puppet that's already on the board, or you can animate one from your toy box and you bring it into play through one of your workbenches. And then it can do two things. It can move and it can do an action in either order. Most of the puppets move two, some are three, some are one. And then actions would be mine, as I mentioned, which is to take workbenches, and combat. So those are the two main ones that we've been using. Okay. There are other ones as well, but those are the two main ones that you're going to start with. And then combat is basically base to base, unless you've got a ranged attack, like an all stringer or a death marshal, which have got range.
Right. Okay.
Range guns. If you do an action, you become exhausted, which means if you animate that puppet again during a turn, it will take a rip. So okay. Sometimes it's worth taking the rip to do a certain something in the game. But generally, you're animating five puppets within one turn because you get five rounds. And also, you don't have to do an action. If you don't do an action, then you don't get exhausted. So you can move the same puppet multiple times during your turn.
Okay.
And then at the end of five rounds, you take off all the exhausted tokens, refresh your hand with whatever is now the suitable number, and have another turn.
Okay.
Sounds simple, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I'm guessing that it isn't.
to learn to play it, a couple of minutes. Once you've got the sequences in your head, that's you've got how to basically play the game. What then adds the dimension is using the abilities of the puppets. So most of the puppets have got one or two additional abilities, which allows them to do, you know, more things, and how you then combine the puppets together. So, for example, Seamus stops you dodging, and dodging is basically cheating your defense up. So maybe I better talk about how a combat is done. So
sure.
It's a basic flip against a target number. So each puppet has a defense stat, so say a 7 or an 8. You can then choose as the defender to try and dodge, and that means you play a card from your hand which replaces that. So you might replace an 8 with a 9 of crows. Or it could be a lower number, but it means you've got the suit as well. So adding the suit makes it more difficult to achieve the target number, because that becomes your target.
Right.
And as an attacker, you will flip a number of cards. So the attack stat on the card is the number of cards that you will flip. So an all stringer is 1, but Lady Justice is 3. So you flip 3 cards, you'll choose only one of them, and then you will add cards from your hand, and you're adding suits, basically. However many cards you lay down, you take the highest number, and then you add the suits together.
Right.
So aces, for example, one big difference from Malifaux is the aces are only a 1, but they're double suit.
Okay.
Which means then, if I played as my defense card, the ace of crows, my opponent would then need 2 crows to defeat me. Right. Especially if their hand's getting low, if they don't flip a crow and then have a crow in their hand, they're not going to be able to do anything to you.
Right.
So sometimes tactically playing your defense card could be quite interesting. Because some of the actions require suits as well. So, for example, Seamus has an ability where he can stop a rip on one of his puppets by discarding a crow. If you've been using crow as your defense card against that player, he's having to use crows to attack you.
Right.
So there is a resource issue there. And the other thing is that you're not shuffling the deck.
Right, okay.
So you play through the whole deck and then shuffle when you get to the bottom of the deck. So
at some point you're going to see those bad cards the same way you're going to see those good cards.
But actually, sometimes having a handful of good cards isn't necessarily a good thing, because if you're only wanting to animate a puppet of animation 3, and the lowest card in your hand is an 8, and you pick up a 9 in your draw, you're having to play a reasonably high card to animate something, and it also means you're probably going second. So that's an interesting mechanic. I think that works really well.
All right. Okay. I noticed that our time has escaped us.
That's a surprise.
So to sum up, it's a board game from Weird. It uses some of the same Weird mythologies, but it's a completely different mechanism from Malifaux and other Weird games.
Yeah.
What would you say is the best thing about the game?
Well, apart from the fact the puppets are absolutely fantastic, it plays really well. It easily introduced to game. I found it really good for couples. I've been playing a lot of demos at shows, and couples come along. You know, usually the male counterpart is the gamer trying to draw his other half into games. And actually, I've pointed people at Puppet Wars rather than Malifaux, because I think it's a good entry point.
Cool. What's the hardest thing to get to grips with?
Actually, turn sequence. Because you get so excited about doing a combat, you forget that you haven't gone.
Cool. So, I noticed that you can pick up Puppet Wars from those nice people at Element Games. It will cost you about £42 for Puppet Wars Unstitched.
That's pretty good.
And, it's pretty decent. So, I think we should probably stop there. So, until next time, I've been Mike.
And I've been Dave.
We'll speak to you soon. Bye-bye. You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're @fools_daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.